Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'm going to continue to work our way through Ephesians chapter 5 today. Beautiful passage that fits so uniquely into this season of Advent, this time of preparation, of awakening. And I left off yesterday in verse 7 and 8. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the program this week, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net, and you can browse the website. There's a lot of good stuff there to take a look at, the missions that we're engaged in around the world. It's been a fantastic year of standing with the church in places all over the world, in Eastern Europe, Africa, Asia, the Middle East, standing with bishops, priests, lay people in those countries, some very seriously oppressed countries, some countries where the church seems to be dying, others where it seems to be exploding in its growth, and just being able to be a part of what the Lord is doing in the world. You'll be able to see it firsthand, hear the report. You can read the reports of our country coordinators. They're short, but they're very inspiring. Might have some, I think, some pictures and other things there as well. But also our TV shows, our radio programs, a lot of free stuff. Our booklets are there to help encourage you in the battle, because this time between the two comings of Jesus is a time of mercy, as I've talked about, but it's also a time of great battle and great warfare. This is why the church calls us to be alert and to battle. And as soon as you start getting serious about the Lord and the call of the Lord, the enemy's strategy is always to try to stop you immediately in your tracks. If we're not serious about the Lord and we're kind of just drifting with the world, and the enemy will basically leave us alone for the most part because he wants to keep us going in that direction. He doesn't want to slow down that momentum. But as soon as we stop and turn and the lights start to go on in our mind and say, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not really living in a way that's consistent with my baptism, and I'm not ready to meet the Lord. I want to now live in a way that's consistent with his call in my life. And then you turn, and it's like walking against the current of a very strong stream at times. And the enemy's just going to bring all kinds of stuff to try to discourage you, to get you to give up, to distract you, to try to knock you off your game, to seduce you away. He'll try anything. C.S. Lewis used to have this image where he said, we never quite recognize how strong the spiritual battle is until we actually get engaged in the battle. He said, people who are not engaged in the battle, who are not taking it serious, are like a man who's laying flat on his back in an open plain on a windy day, and he's saying to himself, oh, it's not very windy out here at all today. It's not bad at all. He doesn't realize until he stands up and actually tries to walk against the wind that he realizes the force. He's laying down flat. He surrendered. He gave up. But if you stand up and you walk right into the teeth of that wind, you're going to know its force. And this is what happens when you get serious about following the Lord and getting ready to meet him and getting prepared to live in this life as a disciple and radically buying into his call to become a saint. That's when opposition will really start coming. So if you're not experiencing any spiritual opposition, that probably means you're no threat to the enemy and he's just better off. He's decided he's better off leaving you alone. If you're in the midst of heated battle, if you're up against it, friend, realize Christ is right there at your right hand. He's with you. He's for you. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Count on it. God's plans for you, he will bring to completion. Stand strong in your faith. Stand with him. Don't surrender. Don't give up. No matter how weak you feel, remember, his power is made perfect in weakness. Trust him profoundly. Trust him deeply. Surrender to him, whatever circumstance you're facing, and he will bring you through it. Well, let's continue to pick up the reading. Let's go to verse 11 today. It says, take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. We're living in a time where unfruitful works of darkness, God is exposing. He's giving us a kind of model, right? We should all expose the patterns of life within us, the hidden secrets of our life. Bring them to confession. Get them out in the light. Do whatever you can to break the hold these habit patterns have, this tendency to fall into walking in darkness. We want to come into the light. The Holy Spirit will help us. Our part is to humble ourselves and to move into it. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of the things that they do in secret. He's talking about the pagans and their pattern way of life. Verse 13, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it is said, and this is a very beautiful, some people say it could be taken from a baptismal hymn in the early church, but it's very much an Advent kind of exhortation. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. That's what's proclaimed to us in baptism when we're put to death in baptism, the old man, and we're called to new life and to come into the light of Christ. And the church, through the authority of Jesus, the authority of our Lord, makes this very call, calls us from death to life in baptism. The priest does it. It's a beautiful thing. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So what does it mean to be awake? It means to be careful in how you walk. What does the walk mean? It means the pattern of life that we're living. What are the choices we're making? Where are we going? So if you're walking on stones in a shallow river trying to get across the river, making your way across, you watch carefully how you walk, right? So your foot can be put just right on the rock so you don't slip off and fall. Paul is saying, be wise. The wise man looks to the light of God's truth. God's word, for example, the scripture says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So the wise man will take up the word of God daily and allow the word of God to inform us on how we're going to walk in the way of Christ, how we're going to find the life that we desire. The unwise man ignores the word of God, keeps it at arm's length because he's too preoccupied with the empty words, as Paul was saying here, that are constantly in the world, the empty words that are going out all the time. This is what ends up filling the mind and the heart of so many. Instead of the wisdom that comes from God, the light of Christ, here this passage is calling us to come into the light, to come out of the sleeping, the dormant life that we're in. We're spiritually dead or spiritually asleep to who we are in Christ, what we're called to be, and what he demands of us right now, what he's calling us to. So be wise, don't be foolish. Verse 16, but instead make the most of the time because the days are evil. Make the most of the time. What a powerful and important exhortation and a very important meditation for us. Good question to ask here in Advent. Am I making the most of the time as a husband, as a father, in my work life, and how I relate to people on a daily basis, with the time, the talent, the treasure that God has given to me? Am I making the most of the time? And what does that mean to make the most of the time? It means to be alive to God in Christ. It means to, as Jesus said in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of holiness, and everything else will be added unto you. Like, put all your eggs in that basket. Radically trust him. Ask yourself the question, if I look at my life and how I use my time, my talent, my treasure, where my mind is at on a daily basis, my imagination, my interests, my passions, my desires, when I look at that, would I say I'm seeking Jesus first in my life? Because to seek the kingdom first is to seek the king, is to seek Jesus, who's come to establish his kingdom in the earth, and he establishes it in each one of us, in his church. So asking yourself the question, does my way of life indicate that I've taken serious Jesus' exhortation to seek first his kingdom? How many other firsts do I have? Another way of asking is, how many idols do I have in my life that I'm genuflecting to on a daily basis? Where is my heart? Again, I keep going back to the revelations in society that have been emerging of the secret lifestyles that people have been living. And it seems like God's judgment has begun with exposing the sexual perversion and disorder and the way people are living their lives that is radically inconsistent with God, and it's hurting other people and hurting themselves, but ultimately offending God. Well, what you see there is people have idols. They don't think they can be happy and live without these pleasures in their life. And so deeply wrapped up in it, they are in such deep bondage to these idols. See, that's where the devil's going to take you. He's going to draw you in. He's going to titillate you. He's going to seduce you into something that you know is wrong. You're going to justify it along the way. You're going to see some kind of good in it that's going to attract you. And you're going to justify it, and something will happen once. Oh, I'm not going to do that again. And something will happen again. Oh, I'm not going to do that again. And before you know it, what he's done, he's going to tie a rope around you. He's going to put chains around you to enslave you because he wants you to walk. You know what Paul said? Be careful how you walk. Walk in the light. The devil wants to train you to walk in darkness. He's okay with you walking in the twilight for a while. We have one foot in the church and one foot in the world, one foot that follows the Lord and one foot that keeps alive a secret life and a pattern of life that you want because you've been seduced to believe a lie that you can't be happy without it. So when that happens, friend, what's being revealed there is the condition of your heart and that you're attached to an idol and you're now worshiping something that's less than yourself. The devil's succeeding in degrading you. He wants to lead you to slavery. He wants to mock you. He wants to humiliate you. He wants to degrade you because he resents you. Why does he resent you? Why does the devil resent you? Because he knows the plan of God for the human race. The unique place because of Jesus' incarnation and the unique destiny that belongs to human beings, that literally we're going to share and become partakers in the divine nature. And he absolutely hates it. He's filled with pride and envy. He wants to attack and mock God. He wants to destroy God's plan. So how does he do that? How can he sort of get at God in his mind? He certainly can't harm God directly. So what's he trying to do? He's trying to humiliate you, the image of God. He wants to mock you and degrade you. And he wants you to believe a lie about God. He wants you to become a slave to him so he can destroy you forever, so you can be his slave forever. That's really the truth. That's the spiritual drama that you're living. It's not a myth in the sense of some fancy spiritual idea that's got nothing to do with reality. This is reality, and the church reveals it. So this is the nature of the battle that you're in. So Paul is saying, be wise, wake up, come into the light, make the most of the time. Why? Because these are evil days. Look at how many people are trapped in these evil days into outrageous lies that offend God and that are destroying them. Verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What a beautiful line. Don't be a fool. The scripture says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. The fool says in his heart, no one sees my sin. The fool says in his heart, I'm the master of my own destiny. Absolute foolishness. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care if you're the most successful businessman on the planet. If you live as if God, the King, Jesus Christ, isn't the Lord, and that God doesn't exist, if you live in a way indifferent to God, you're an utter fool. You are it. You are a total fool. And you will die in your foolishness. And you will die subject, a slave to Satan himself. That's the destiny of the fool that Scripture talks about here. Paul goes on to say, and therefore don't get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery. So he's saying literally, stay sober, be clear-headed, stay awake. So here he's calling us away from things. Tomorrow I'm going to pick up where he's calling us to things. So he says, put away these things and pick up those things. Put off the old and put on the new. So the Christian life every day is this active, animated life of following Jesus, obeying him and laying hold of what he's given us so we can be conformed to him for his glory and for our salvation. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.